Peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. So in our gospel reading from Luke 12 today, we get the first of a two-part lesson from Jesus about life and possessions. And Jesus enlists some help from some unlikely sources. This week we learn from a rich fool. Next week we learn from some well-fed birds. This week, Jesus invites us to step back for a second and do a little bit of life examining. Let's talk about the stuff of life. What is the stuff of life? Of what does your life consist? It's really a question about human existence. Well, this past Thursday morning, I was up early pondering this text. And this question, as I was making breakfast in bed for my wife, proving that miracles do indeed exist. And they're rare. And as I was cooking, I was asking myself this question, self, what is the stuff of life? And myself immediately responded, butter! That's the kind of answer I tend to give early in the morning when I ask myself, instead of talking to God or listening to His Word. So how do you think Jesus answers the question of what does life consist? What does my life consist? At the beginning of our text, a man yells out of the crowd a question, really a demand of Jesus. He says, Rabbi, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. It's a reasonable request. People ask rabbis that kind of question all the time. But if you ask Jesus this question, you misunderstand his mission. Jesus is not interested, first and foremost, about economic equality. He's interested in life. He's interested in your life. Now and in eternity. Life is not about the abundance of possessions, whether earned or inherited. So Jesus responds to the man, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Peter would have said, Well, God the Father. But it's really a rhetorical question, because Jesus is not going to answer that question. Instead, after declining to arbitrate this dispute between brothers, he says, Take care and be on your guard against all greediness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. So Jesus approaches this question first from the negative. He says what life is not about. Life does not consist of the abundance of possessions. In fact, Jesus says when it comes to possessions, we should guard ourselves against covetousness. The word here in Greek is, see if I can say this, pleonexias, which we translate in our version here today as covetousness, or greediness, or here's a good one, insatiableness. Because abundance cannot satisfy you. And then he tells the parable of this rich fool who all of his possessions couldn't satisfy him. He says, So he's going to make this point about life and tell this parable about the rich fool. And the guy in the story, the guy in the parable, he's not an American, but he could have been. According to one recent article I read this week, there's been an exponential growth in the self-storage industry. Facilities, they look like rows and rows of garages, you know, with a garage door that you can lock, one right after another, that you can store all your extra stuff. The article says, one in 11 Americans, so I figure a good number of you, pays an average of over $91 a month to use self-storage, finding a place for the material overflow of the American dream. And there's a company that tracks this. It's called Sparefoot. It tracks the $38 billion self-storage industry. And they say that the United States has more than 50,000 facilities and over 2.3 billion square feet of rentable space. The volume of self-storage units in this country could fill the Hoover Dam with your old clothes, your old skis, and your old keepsakes more than 26 times. By the way, how would you define self-storage? Is it a do-it-yourself storage facility where you put your stuff, or actually is it a place where you are actually storing your self, your life, your soul? Well, the problem with the rich man's possessions, well, it wasn't the possessions. The problem was how he thought about them and how he acted towards them. Listen again to the parable. How many times does he say, "my"? The investment portfolio of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, "What shall I do, for all my dividends and interest are sitting in a cash account, not earning me anything?" And he said, "I will do this. I will close my account and open one with a full-service broker. And there I will store all my stocks and bonds and portfolio." Oh, wrong parable. Sorry. Listen to how often he says, "me" or "my." The land of a rich man produced fruitfully. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?'" Sounds like King Solomon in Ecclesiastes. I work all my life, and then it ends up in somebody else's hands after I die. This man thought exclusively about his doing stuff with his stuff and his well-being. He exhibited no conception of God's ownership of all things, including his life, nor any responsibility to use his possessions to serve others. He said, "I need bigger barns," rather than, "I need less stuff," or "I should share some of my stuff." The fool is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We are familiar with laying up treasures for ourselves. But what about being rich toward God? What does that mean? This phrase means being plentifully supplied with something, and that something is God Himself. To be a Christian, to live fully, is to be plentifully supplied by and with God Himself. That's God's gift to us in Christ. He graciously supplies us with all that we need to support this life and this spirit, this soul. In fact, Christians, He supplies you with His Spirit, a Holy Spirit, in baptism. That's life. St. Paul puts it to the Corinthians this way: "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ,
that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." You see the poverty of Christ on the cross. That's where he goes. To give you the gift of eternal life, which he wins for you in his resurrection, and he just gives it to you. A pure gift. The rich fool in the parable, he didn't recognize that the gift of everything in his life included, and all these abundant possessions, the surplus of possessions, was from God. And then he's surprised, or we shouldn't be, and we shouldn't be, that his very life is also a gift from God. And this is a gift that God can demand back at any time. This rich fool was so concerned about gaining the whole world that he loses himself and he suffers loss. Suffers the loss of his own soul. To be rich towards God is to believe that God is the giver of all things, including life and salvation through Jesus Christ. And to show that one believes is to share with others the gifts that God gives. This is Jesus' consistent teaching about possessions. Behind Jesus' teaching about possessions, before, during, and after, it's all about grace. Grace which comes through Christ. Grace which looks like forgiveness. Grace which looks like salvation. Grace which looks like life. Christians, that is what your life consists of. Grace. On Judgment Day, God will ask whether his free gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation is something that you've received by faith, or was it something that you've abused in the arrogant assumption that God's gifts are your personal possessions that you get to hoard or waste foolishly? Our conception of our Christian life cannot help but affect the way we look and act towards our possessions. The fact is, most Americans, preachers included, do not need nearly as many possessions as we have. All of us could be using our own possessions more fully in service towards others and toward the glory of Christ. So I brought today a pair of my favorite blue jeans. I love these blue jeans. They've served me well, but they bother me. They bother me because I can't wear them anymore. And they've been sitting in my closet since a few pounds of prosperity ago. Now, I admit that there's really two issues going on here. I've already admitted to butter. But the other one is that hanging on to surplus possessions too long can cause anxiety. That's why they sit there in my closet bothering me. And the remedy for worry and anxiety over wealth is to give away one's surplus. So after today's service, these are going into the Hearts for the Homeless bin in the parking lot, where I can't get at them anymore, and they won't bother me anymore. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those of us who have been given an abundance of God's gifts in this world may fear, love, and trust in God by thanking him for the gifts that he's given and enjoying them for a while, the gifts that he's given us, and then by sharing them with somebody else. So now, if you think you've been called to a more generous existence, I have a little challenge for you. This week, go into your own self-storage shed, or your garage, or your basement, or your closet, and find something that you're not using anymore. And give thanks to God that He gave it to you to use for a while. And then give it to somebody else who can use it. And let us pray this. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation to tell somebody else what they should get rid of. Not unless they specifically ask us. And if you're tempted to do that, we'll just go back and pray, thanking God that He has given you all your possessions and your life, now and in eternity, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand.